Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jody Mullen. Welcome to Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids. This series of podcasts is dedicated to helping parents and other people who are connected with children help children behave and be their best. I'm in a unique position to share this with you because I've been a child counselor and play therapist for nearly 20 years. I'm also a mom, and I've learned many lessons from my child clients as well as my own children. This has informed my parenting as well as my parent coaching that I do as part of my clinical practice. I recognize in working with thousands of children and parents that there are simple principles for parenting. I will cover more than 20 principles for blissful parenting so you too can have freakishly well-behaved kids. These principles are simple and life-altering, and today is a great example of that. They will change and enhance your relationship that you have with children, how children behave, and how you feel about yourself around children, and it also, this is great news, will improve your overall parenting esteem. In this podcast, I will talk about a specific principle or lesson and how you can apply it. There will be special guests that will further our conversations about parenting and children. So I want to stay tuned for my upcoming book, Blissful Parenting, and check out my website, www.integrativecounseling.us, or follow me on Twitter at Dr. Jody Mullen. Today's guest is my sidekick, extraordinaire, my friend, mental health counselor, also play therapist, also mom and grandma, June Rickley, and we're going to be addressing cooking with kids today. So welcome, June.
Hi, thanks.
I wrote a little bit down about cooking that I wanted to share, with our listeners before we really get to just sort of chatting about it, because when we were thinking, as we think of ideas for these podcasts and what kind of things bring parents and kids together, because that really is the foundation of having, good relationships with your kids and having well-behaved kids, is that cooking is just one of those extraordinary examples and that really we all have access to. So we're going to focus on cooking with your kids as a means of connecting with them. And that we just wanted you to remember that building a solid relationship is the key to blissful parenting. In this show, we will discuss all the amazing benefits of cooking with your kids. I don't know that we're going to be able to discuss them all in detail because there are that many, but we'll at least name them so that you can start thinking about them yourself. We'll share some stories about our own experiences with our kids and grandkids and our child clients that we work with and give some, as always, simple strategies to give your kids an opportunity to be freakishly well-behaved. So that's our topic for today. And I think I want to start off just with saying we brainstormed, and every time we were gotten in this process of brainstorming, June and I back and forth, we thought of another thing that happens through cooking with your kids. So this is just a short list. And I know that we're missing something, so we might wind up adding them as we wind up talking through the show. Or, certainly if you have things that you'd like to add to this list, please feel free to call in. So the list that we came up with of what kids learn or develop through cooking these are all the things we came up with. They learn problem solving. They learn or develop math skills, the measurement skills, reading, chemistry, cooperation, patience, creativity, planning, nutrition, hand-eye coordination, fine motor skills, and possibly even budgeting, depending on how far you go with this. So there is a ton of things, of really awesome developmental and learning opportunities that happen through cooking. The one thing that we will say is really the key to this, though, is if you're doing this with kids, whether they're your own or you're doing it with, just older children, like the kids that come over on the block or with a class, is that it's really important to remember that none of that will happen if you're not patient. So you really, as the adult in this situation, have to go into this recognizing that this is also going to test your ability to be patient, not just with the kids, but also with yourself. So that's where we'd like to start off today, mm-hmm. just talking about all the different things that kids learn and develop through cooking. And and then the other piece was that food is, universally a social connector. So food is a way to connect people, to connect them to each other, to connect them to culture, to connect them to history. So all of those kind of things happen, and we were, June and I were really quickly able to think of many different ways that it has connected us, you know, in our families with our own children and even children outside of our families. So, June, is there like a memory or a tradition or a story that you'd like to start us off with sharing?
And actually I wanted to add to your list also that I think kids can learn a lot about safety as well, like safety.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I think that's an important part of, you know, the whole process is them learning, like, the safe ways to do things. And to also add, like you said, that, you know, some of the things in you know, allowing your kids in the kitchen and working with them, helping, letting them help you cook is kind of to get rid of some of the, like, there has to be some tolerance for mess because kids aren't always neat when they're learning about things, and especially in the kitchen. So, you know, to kind of let go of some of that, you know, some of your own need to have things a certain way.
You know,
but as far as the memory, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, as you're saying that, I just thought of another one to add to the list, and which, so you said safety, and I think this goes hand in hand, is also hygiene. They know that they have to wash their hands. So, I mean, a whole bunch of other opportunities for, like, traditional safety, but also, like, hygienic safety also presents themselves, in this opportunity. And as you were also saying, like, the setup, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just thought, oh, I have to.
No.
was that, you know, children don't have a lot of opportunities to be, you know, to experience power and control and do things in their own way. And even though they're going to have some guidance from you here, this gives them a little bit of a taste of that opportunity, which is an amazing feeling for them. So that also becomes a really important piece here. And then the other thing that I was thinking of, even as you were saying that too, about, you know, like, we have to be patient and let some of those things go because they might create a mess, is sometimes I think this is important for parents to remember, is that the reason they might create a mess has nothing to do with them being messy. It does have to do with their age and their fine motor skills and their ability to, you know, sort of contain all of those things. And then one last thing, and I promise I'll let you tell your story, the other thing that I thought of is that we're not just talking about little kids here. So this is actually wonderful because we're talking about, like, the full age span. So children as young as 2 could be helping in the kitchen cooking, but, you know, as old as teenagers and even young adults. So it really, this is one of those strategies that goes throughout childhood, you know, through adolescence, mm-hmm. even into young adulthood. So it's really special in that way. Okay, June, tell your story.
Well, I guess, like, you know, to equate, like, cooking and being in the kitchen, like, there's so many memories that that I know in my life stem from around that. And then even just recently, my daughter, who's 25, she said to me, "Mom, remember when I used to stand on the chair next to Grandma and help her make meatballs?" Which was, you know, my mother-in-law was Italian, and meatballs were, like, her specialty. And so, not only, you know, was it cool to see my daughter at the age of 25 thinking back when she was, you know, 4 years old or 5 years old or whatever, and how much that meant to her. But at the time, my mother-in-law, like, this was such a big deal for her, especially she only had sons. So her granddaughter next to her on a chair helping her make her meatballs was, like, such a cool thing for her. And so she was in her glory. Another thing that you just said, like, kids at the age of, even at the age of 2 can help. And just recently, mm-hmm. I had my 2 little granddaughters here for the morning, and I was trying to think of what to do with, you know, what special thing I could do with them. And I decided that I would show them how to make ice cream. And you can make ice cream in, like, Ziploc bags with heavy cream and sugar and vanilla and all of that. You kind of mix it and it all like comes together eventually. And they're 2 and 4. And the 2 year old, like, they were both, first of all, thrilled to do this. And very able to do this. And the conversation like that, that like my 4 year old granddaughter would be like, now how is it gonna turn? How is it gonna turn to ice cream? And all the questions, you know, along the way, you know, the curiosity and it was just a really cool thing, and their excitement when they saw that it actually comes together.
So it sparks the wonder, really, that of childhood, you know, even it has that quality too. And then when you're like, when the whatever you decided to cook comes together and comes out, there's also that amazing sense of pride and connectedness that children get from that as well. And I think these are just special moments that really connect us in these relationships. And you were talking about your daughter and with her grandma, and I was thinking in our family, my grandma Leah was definitely the matriarch and she was the baker in the family, and so we have a bunch of her recipes, and she died a couple of years ago. But one of the things that happens is anytime any of us makes a Grand Marnier cake, these were her specialties, or banana cake, is that we always also feel a spiritual connection, to her. So even though, and I think that when you were talking about Kate, that made me think about that, is like, it didn't only connect me cooking with my grandmother, it didn't only connect me to her in the in that time, because it connects me to her forever. My sister will say my cake turned, my banana cake turned out perfectly. I know grandma was in on it with me. there's all these, wonderful relational qualities about that. And, I think as long as you set it up with some guidelines, that it really can be an amazing experience. And that's what happens when we use cooking as a tool with our therapy clients, is that we have to really set up some guidelines and some limits. So, one of the things that is important is that you as the adult make sure that you have what you need. So making sure that you have the ingredients, and even like June and I were talking about before the call, like if you go shopping with your own kids, like have them, help you pick those things out, help you budget it, those kind of things just makes it an additive experience. But having the equipment that you need, having the ingredients that you need, there are tons of really wonderful cookbooks out there for children, and that have very simple recipes. And there's even some very good tools that are created for kids in the kitchen. So knives that don't have the quite sharp, have a little bit of a rounded edge and are kids' size, so they fit in children's hands better. So that all these things are available to us. So it's like, this is definitely the time to take advantage of that. I mean, you don't need a special cookbook for kids. You don't need special utensils or anything like that for children, but they are out there, and so there's opportunity to take advantage of that as well. So some of those things are really part of making this a very positive experience and connecting experience with your kids is setting it up. And the other thing, like we said before, is just making sure you have your patience in check. so all those things, that's that.
Well, and I think there's also, I know even in my role as a play therapist, and there are times where in some of my consultation with parents, well, in some of my work with a child, that I might see that, I'm sensing that they might need a little extra nurturance or a little extra, one-on-one time. And many times in my consultation, I'll see that parents sometimes don't give activities like cooking as much like they don't think they're as important as they really are. And at times they think they have to do like big, you know, grandiose things or expensive things mm-hmm. in order to do that one-on-one time. And it's actually so the opposite, you know, that it's,
right.
You know, and oftentimes they're surprised when I say, no, kids don't care. Like, it, that stuff doesn't matter. It's being with you that matters. And so you don't, you know, you can take small activities that you do every day and make them special because that's what the child is looking for, not the thing.
Right. Well, and think about, like, what happens when you are cooking with your children or, you know, and for the folks listening to the show, just ask this, your memory bank on this, is that you were connected in conversation, you know, with that adult. And mm-hmm. the other thing that's happening and is very typical is that you're connected because of proximity. So when you're cooking with somebody, it's not like you're, you know, across the room. You're usually, you know, right there with them. And if you're showing a child how to maybe use a knife or how to stir, you know, something or use a hand mixer, typically there's like some nurturing touch involved in that. So there's all these opportunities for it to be a very nurturing act, as well as then eating what you created, you know, like that goes hand in hand too, is like, you know, it gives kids an opportunity to maybe try something new, but if they're helping you make something that you've made before, it's now like you've made it together. And that sort of changes the dynamic about the, you know, the process. And it's a very nurturing, you know, activity. And, you know, and I think that we could all probably conjure up some memories or some experiences that we've had where, you know, cooking with somebody, you know, whether it's as a child or even as an adult, was, you know, a very connecting kind of experience.
Sure. You know, and I think also in talking about, like, there's so much that they can learn, I mean, from a nutrition standpoint, and there's also times where the nutrition stuff may have out the window for a little while. I'm thinking...
Yeah.
I'm kind of outing Andrew on this, Jody. Like, I'm thinking of Jody's son, Andrew, who one of his specialties was a macaroni and cheese sandwich. And,
yeah.
You know, I remember telling me, like, he's so proud of this, like, creation that he has. And just, like, the pride and kind of like, huh, look at me. I'm kind of unique. I like this thing that I invented.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's it, too. That's the creativity part. Although, you know, I'm not thrilled that one of my son's favorite meals is macaroni and cheese sandwiches.
exactly.
But I can even talk to him about that. So he, like, makes the macaroni and cheese sandwich. He's so proud of himself for making the sandwich. He loves how it tastes. But at that time, it gives me opportunity to talk to him about, like, well, you know, maybe if you put some lettuce on that macaroni and cheese sandwich or threw in a tomato or had, you know, carrots on the side, that would make your plate much more colorful. It becomes
this whole, like,
you know,
in moderation.
Yeah, yeah. So it gives you opportunity, you know, to talk about healthy eating with your kids. And, it, you know, I mean, we'd have to sort of be living in a bubble right now if we didn't know that, you know, obesity in children and being overweight is now at an epidemic proportion. So it does give opportunity for that. And I think one of the ways to also weave, like, the nutritional part in without it, you know, being so difficult for kids is to talk about using color as part of how you create your meal or create what's, you know, your cooking creation, is that, like, well, how many different colors can we get in here? And not, like, food coloring by, you know, adding ingredients that make it, you know, more attractive or colorful. And I also think that, you know, one of the things that traditionally adults have gotten very upset with is kids playing with their food, so to speak. But if we give them a little bit of opportunity, especially in this kind of setting, to play with their food, they might be more likely to, you know, try some new things. And I know a lot of people have picky eaters, you know, for children, but this gives them, you know, this gives them a deeper connection, too, to the food itself And so they might be more likely to try something they've made than something that is just put to them, you know, put out to them on a plate. So it gives, you know, that opportunity too, as well as I make a spaghetti sauce that has shred carrots into it. That gives it a sweetness. And then I put it in the blender. And so you would never know that there are carrots in it because there's, like, no traces of them by the time you eat the sauce. Well, my son, who the macaroni and cheese sandwich boy, does not really like vegetables. And so he helped me make the sauce one day, and he was, you know, we got out the carrots, and he was, "Oh, what? There are carrots in here?" And so then he was willing to try carrots out of the sauce because he realized that the carrots were in the sauce and he was already eating them and loving the sauce. So it gives, you know, some opportunities for things like that to happen that are, you know, kind of natural ways to get your kids to maybe eat vegetables or, you know, or try something different that they haven't tried, rather than you just saying, you know, please try something new, please eat your vegetables, you know, puts a different spin on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even for like a macaroni and cheese sandwich with a child, you know, with to be able to say, okay, how can we make this? You know what? You can teach them to substitute. Okay, what's a better ingredient for this? Oh, we have some low fat milk. How about some whole wheat pasta? How about some, you know, if you're going to have it on bread, let's have it on whole wheat bread. You know, so there's ways of even taking something that may not be considered the healthiest of meals, but there's ways to make it healthier.
Well, and also to be playful about it, like one of the children's cookbooks that we have that I really like is by Rachel Ray from Food Network, and she has in there like a recipe for, it's a macaroni and cheese recipe, but she calls it cheese and trees or something like that. And
I've seen that.
Yeah, so you put broccoli in it, and now you've got your trees, you know? So I think being, you know, playful about those kind of things, too, if you can make it a game, if you can make it playful, I think that, that you know, really lends itself. And one of the children that I see in counseling who, she's, I'm trying to think about, maybe fourth or fifth grader, and she was doing a lot of compulsive eating, had gained a lot of weight, you know, also had some other things, more serious things going on in her life that were causing her anxiety and some depression. Well, she comes in breakfast time. So we were, you know, she always asks if we can have something for breakfast. And I know she's already eaten breakfast before she comes in. So we decided that we would go through the rainbow. And each week we would bring some other color from, I would bring some other color from the rainbow as her breakfast snack. So we, you know, we did, for red, we did strawberries. For orange, we did oranges, you know. And we just went through the rainbow all the way through, and then she wanted to go back through it again. And many of these things weren't things that she had tried before. And so the other thing that that I did was it was enough for her to bring home with her, and so that she could get her family to try these things too, and maybe get them, you know, on the shopping list, you know, that kind of thing. But it was this she had a high need for nurturance that was coming through in her overeating. So I figured, like, okay, how can I you know, connect with her nurturance need and yet still keep my limits as a counselor, but also introduce her to some more, you know, healthy eating at the same time, which I know will make her feel ultimately better about herself. So, you know, there's just all these different ways to weave it in, and part of it, you know, comes from your end. It's just the simple act of cooking with kids, even if it's making, like, toast, you really grab their attention in the kitchen. And I think part of that, I'm just thinking of this right now as we're talking about this. I think part of that is that the kitchen is typically an adult-centric area. And so when you invite kids into the kitchen, I think that in and of itself makes it a special moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so it really allows, you know, all of a sudden kids, you know, they feel special about that. And, you know, what you were talking about earlier, June, about, like, that that feeds into their needs for nurturance. But I know, especially as kids get older, we don't always aren't as in tune to that, or they don't show that they want it in the same ways that they did when they were younger. But even cooking with your teenager, you know, creating something with your teenager is, you know, that's another way to invite them into the kitchen. And I think it all, I mean, in the long run too, you're teaching some really important independent living skills. I remember, you know, having as a young adult, having friends who did not know how to cook anything, you know, and so they were really at a loss. And I'm even thinking of a young adult clients that I've had that go off to college and really put on a great deal of weight, and part of that is that they it's not connected to them eating at the dining hall or anything like that. It's connected to they do have access to a kitchen in their apartments or dorm rooms or whatever, but they don't know how to cook anything, so it's just easier to order out. And so, you know, it winds up affecting ultimately, like, not just your overall health, but also your mental health and self-esteem. Sure. You know, so, I mean, there's just, like we had said at the start of the show, there's just so many opportunities that come with cooking, you know, with your kids. So, any other things that you wanted to make sure we covered today in this conversation?
I think just to remember, I'm thinking back to when I used to be a mental health consultant for a preschool program in the area, and I used to go into the different classrooms that included they would give the kids meals. And the first time, and these were little three-year-olds, and the first time I went in and I saw these little kids, little three-year-olds, who had their jobs, and they had their, one would set the table, one would fold the napkins, one would set the silverware down, and then they would all sit down as a family and eat these meals and pass the food around. And I thought, I watched each child very proudly do their job. They had their specific job. And were there times when the pitcher of milk, you know, would drip over the side or spill? Yeah.
Right.
But these kids were so proud to be, part of this, preparation and all getting together. And for some of these children, that was, the only kind of family-type meals they had. And just seeing that, you know, I think sometimes we underestimate how much a three-year-old or a two-year-old is able to do.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's really important, too, because, you know, around cooking, certainly a two-year-old can put cups on the table. Certainly a two-year-old could dump, if you fill up that cup with flour, they can dump it into the bowl. You know, they can stir.
Mm-hmm.
So there are really a lot of things that they can do. Now, when they stir the batter or whatever, is there a chance it's going to, get out of the bowl? Yes, of course there is. But it really happens with that. And I think, it's just, ultimately what we're talking about really is, this is just another method of connecting with your kids. And what happens when you're connected to your kids is that they feel connected to you, and they behave better for you. Is that, when you're not kissing, I mean, it's really very simple. So this is, we are just trying to give you as many ways possible to, connect with your kids. And, here's the other thing about this, June, and I think we left this part out, is that you're probably going to have fun with this, too. again, the sidebar to this is all the things that kids will learn or develop from this experience. So there's no reason not to do it. It's good on all now. Be patient. Have fun with it. And just recognize that this, you're doing something very, very special for a child when you cook with them. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.